All right, thank you, Mickey. Now we are gonna transition into the sharing of our joys and concerns. I'll share with you what I have. If you have a joy or a concern that you would like to share with everyone, I invite you to either write it in the chat or unmute yourself and share it with us. Okay, so first I'll share what I have. Please continue to keep the family and friends of Virginia Schaefer in your prayers. She passed away this past weekend. She's a member at Mount Nebo Church. Also, please pray for Greg Sprott. This is Elaine Sprott's son. Greg is a pilot, and he is currently showing symptoms of COVID-19, and his work is making him get tested on Monday. So Elaine has asked that we pray that he gets over whatever this is, and that he is able to get his test results quickly. Sandy has asked us to pray for her grandson, who had to have surgery on his hand this week. The surgery went well. He is recovering, but please continue to pray for his recovery. Also, Sandy has asked us to pray for her son-in-law, who hurt his back. All right, what else can we be praying for?
Go ahead, Lynn.
You're unmuted, my host.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Cliff. With my daughter, potentially, she was exposed last Friday. So we are all quarantined.
We're all on lockdown.
So just praying that no symptoms show up. Thank you.
And none has it, as of yet.
Got it. Thank you, Lynn.
I also have a prayer request.
Okay.
That's for my friends, the Stockton family in New Jersey, who have the coronavirus, several family members.
Rich, what is the family's name?
Stockton.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
S-T-O-C-K-T-O-N.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other prayer requests? Oh, I think we got something in the chat. Oh, my sister has asked us that we pray for folks who are in the medical field who are working and providing essential care right now. So, medical professionals. Working with folks who have COVID-19. Thanks, Em. You reminded me we should probably also be praying for everyone whose job has been considered essential. So basically anyone who has to go to work right now is at risk for contracting the virus. So this includes people that work in grocery stores, people that are delivering groceries, home health aides, people that work with people that have learning disabilities. So we'll pray for all essential workers. All right, any other prayer requests? All right. We will lift these prayer requests up a little bit later in the service. Now we're going to transition into our call to worship. I'm going to leave everybody muted, but the parts that are in bold, I invite you to say aloud where you are. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. All right, at this time, we are going to sing our opening hymn, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. We're going to unmute Mickey and invite everyone to sing where they are. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little through pillared court and temple, the Lord and the Jesus, Jesus, blessed, and those folded to his breast. The children sang their praises, thus his name the best. Olivet, they followed, midnight into the victor palm branch waving, the chanting ring and bolt. The Lord of earth and heaven, hold on in his hand. Nor scorn that little children should on his bed. Hosanna in the highest, he reigns his life. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. And we gather with heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice. All right, friends, let us turn our attention to our prayer of confession. I invite you to join with me in the bold parts. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, our God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sin to God. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Go ahead, Mickey. We will join together with the Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
Hey guys, I know I'm not the best singer, but I really need everyone to stay. It's just too much noise at once. All right, let us transition into confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay, so we're going to try and experiment with the congregational anthem. I'm going to invite the choir of Glenshaw Valley to unmute themselves with Mickey, and we're going to have them sing through the first verse of He is Exalted. We're just going to try it, and then we will sing with the choir through it a second time, but we all will stay muted, okay? All right, so I'm going to mute myself, and we'll have Mickey and the choir unmute for He is Exalted.
I can't find mute.
You're good, Mickey. BJ.
Oh, okay.
The King is exalted on high. I praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise him. He is the
everybody. Obviously, we have some kinks to work through. We'll work through them in the next week. Thank you, choir. I invite you to mute yourselves as we transition into the pastoral prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. for the world. Let us pray for the church. Let us pray for those who govern us. Let us pray for our leaders. Particularly, Lord, we pray that you would protect all of our medical professionals and all of our essential workers. Finally, Lord, we pray for the sick. We pray for Greg, for Sandy's grandson, for Sandy's son-in-law, for the Love family, for the Stockham, and for the Stockham family. God of compassion, bless us and those we love, our friends and families, that drawing close to you, we may be drawn close to each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, at this time in our worship service, we would typically collect an offering. We're not going to do that today because we're all scattered. But what I invite you to do is grab a journal or grab a piece of paper, something like this. And while Mickey is playing, I invite you to reflect on one blessing from the previous week and one challenge from the previous week. So I'm going to mute myself and we will unmute Mickey and she will lead us in a time of reflection. Thank you. Jersey we love. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, Arlie, I invite you to unmute yourself for the scripture reading.
I think Cliff already did. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, you're muted, so you can't tell me that. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Thus ends the reading of today's scripture.
Thank you, Arlie. All right, I am stopping my screen share so that you all are listening to my sermon instead of just reading it as I go. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yesterday, I saw a Facebook post that said, "This is the Lentiest Lent I have ever lented." I think what my friend meant by this post is that no one expected to be giving up quite so much for Lent. Remember the years where we gave up chocolate or coffee or alcohol? Those sacrifices pale in comparison to what we're being asked to give up this Lent to protect the health of the most vulnerable in our communities. This past Monday, on March 30th, 2020, Governor Wolf extended Allegheny County's stay-at-home order through April 30th, 2020. When he did that, he extended the closure of all non-essential businesses and schools indefinitely. Pennsylvanians are ordered not to host or not to attend gatherings and to limit our essential shopping to once per week. All of this is done to help slow the spread of COVID-19 so that our hospitals don't become too overwhelmed to care for the sick. Governor Wolf's stay-at-home order will significantly change how we celebrate Holy Week, this week that started today, but will lead us up through Easter. Today, on Palm Sunday, we're trying a new form of worship, a Zoom meeting, so that we can all celebrate communion together. Palm Sunday is the celebration of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Were this a typical Palm Sunday, we'd all have palm branches right now. These palm branches represent what the crowd scattered in front of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. In our scripture reading for this morning, we learn that Jesus arrives on a donkey. And he arrives on this donkey to signify the reign of a new type of king, a prince of peace. Because donkeys symbolize peace, Jesus is signifying to the crowd that he is going to bring peace through nonviolence. Him riding into town on a donkey is meant to contrast how a Roman official would have entered Jerusalem, riding on a chariot and a war horse, wielding a bow or some other kind of weapon, reminding the crowd that Rome is in charge, and Rome will resort to violence to maintain their power. Jesus's subversive donkey ride reminded the crowd that Jesus, not Rome, is the true king of the Jews. As we'll learn as we journey through this week together, Rome feels very threatened by Jesus. And for that, Rome is going to execute him in just a few days' time. This week, we're going to be living between the tension of the Hosannas on Palm Sunday and the Hallelujahs of Easter morning. Friends, the road from Hosanna to Hallelujah must travel through Jesus's arrest on Thursday, his death on Friday, and the empty tomb on Saturday. Were this a typical week, we would gather together on Thursday night to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Then we would gather again on Sunday to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, to hunt for Easter eggs, and fellowship together. But this is not a typical week, and we aren't going to be able to celebrate Holy Week the way we're used to. One of the blessings of global pandemics is that they force us to evaluate our usual way of doing things. Just as Palm Sunday signified to the Jews that that change was coming, so too do pandemics remind us that our usual ways of doing things no longer work. Here are just a few examples of some of the things this pandemic is forcing us to confront. We live in a global economy, whether we like it or not. Most of the goods that we need to survive, everything from clothing to food to cars, we import these things from somewhere else. We simply cannot just close our borders and ban all travel forever. This is the world that we live in 2020. Speaking of our economy, this pandemic has taught us that our economy is built on the back of low wage, low skill, hourly workers. If you look at maps of the virus online, you'll see that this virus is devastating communities that can't socially distance, like New York City's communities in the South Bronx and Western Queens, communities where folks are already living on top of each other, relying on public transportation, with chronic health conditions, as they live paycheck to paycheck. Before this pandemic, we knew that our healthcare system was under-resourced, stressed, and overburdened. Throw into that the fact that this virus is making things change hourly. Our doctors, our nurses' aides, our physicians' assistants, all those who care for the elderly and the mentally handicapped, they are all doing a heroic job of doing the best they can to serve the sick of every community. Just now, they're doing it with less people and not enough equipment. I'm sure we've all seen on social media and on the news channels, many of them are pleading with us to stay home, to not hoard resources, so that we don't make their difficult jobs impossible. Friends, I actually think that a global pandemic is the perfect moment for Jesus to ride into town on a donkey, to remind us that things are not as they should be, but that this kingdom of God is unfolding all around us. As systems shake and institutions crumble, we are reminded of what to entrust our hope, even when we don't know what tomorrow will look like. We know that Jesus loves us, that Jesus is in control, and that Jesus will continue to lead us through whatever this is. My challenge for us on this extraordinary Palm Sunday is to place ourselves in the shoes of the crowd gathered to witness Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The crowd that has this sense that things are not as they should be, that wants to hope for a future where things will be better for the least of these. How might God be calling them and us to follow in the way of Jesus for such a time as this? For me, this means doing everything I can over the next month to stay home. It means doing online grocery delivery, even though it costs more, even though that it means it's one less trip outside of my home, because it means one less opportunity for me to either catch the virus or to pass it on to someone else. It also provides a job and a source of income for someone who wouldn't have it otherwise. It means not visiting in person with friends or family, even though at this point, which for me is day 22 of social distancing, I am dying for some face-to-face human interaction. But for now, it means I'm going to settle for family game nights via Zoom. It also means caring for my mom's cat. She is napping right now because she woke me up at 4:30 this morning, demanding to be fed. And she keeps trying to walk across my puzzle table and mess it up. Don't worry, we've come up with a solution for this. But really, friends, what it means is bearing these everyday inconveniences to demonstrate my love for the most vulnerable in my communities. Friends, following Jesus for such a time as this is going to look different for all of us. But however it looks, it will be tough. It's okay to have a bad day here or there, or a good cry when our vacation plans or our graduation plans have been postponed indefinitely. But the good news of Palm Sunday that Jesus models for us is that we were created to do tough things. When I reflect on some of the tough things you all are doing in your lives right now, it gives me hope that I can stay home for another couple of weeks. I want to close by saying that we are all going to get through this pandemic. We will all be able to gather together again soon. Life will return to a new normal eventually. Until then, we are called to trust that Jesus will lead us through whatever this is, and to participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God where we can, as we can, and with what we can. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I am going to share my screen with you all again so that we can participate in the Lord's Supper. The way that this is going to work, if it all works, hopefully it will work, is that the prayers that I usually use and the words of institution that you are used to should be on your screen. I invite you to join with me from your home the words that are in bold. Once we do that, I will bless the elements and we will partake of the elements together. While we are partaking of the elements, Mickey is going to play a communion hymn on the keyboard, and I'll signify when all that is to happen. All right, friends, let us turn our attention to God as we participate in this sacrament together. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Oh, wait, sorry. I forgot the invitation to the Lord's Prayer. Let us back up. I will start with the invitation. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say, to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine as we joyfully celebrate his dying and rising, as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God. Okay, friends, Mickey is going to play some background music as we partake of the elements together. The body of Christ. Thank you. the blood of Christ. Friends, let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn is going to be All Glory, Laud, and Honor. The lyrics will be on your screen. We're going to try having everybody muted for this and have everybody sing along to Mickey, and we'll see how that works. So I'm going to mute myself for this song. This is a classic Palm Sunday hymn. You should all know it. Friends, before we part ways, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. That concludes our service. I hope you guys will be able to join us on Thursday at 7 o'clock for our Maundy Thursday service. I will send out an email with the link for it soon.